Faith can feel like hearts and butterflies until someone lights a match and burns it all to the ground. Welcome to the Burning Butterflies podcast.
The sad thing is that there's abuse of every kind within the church, but the spiritual abuse is the stuff that just
A place there shouldn't be abuse. Like, there just shouldn't be abuse in a place that claims Jesus.
Well, and it just, it ruins your soul. If you're new here, we suggest listening to our prologue episode first. This is the story of two women's journey through spiritual abuse and escaping from toxic church culture while finding hope in Christ.
Sometimes it's just the facts, and if you get offended by it, that's a you issue. And if we can't be mature enough to have these conversations, even if some of the topics are difficult, then shame on us.
We have this summer of insanity. Then we have this fall where we have this giant giveaway and this flood and all of this. We are now entering the holiday season of 2013. And typically in women's ministry, we would have a Christmas tea. Well, this year we do something different. So we're going to talk about that today. But before we get to that point, we need to explain to you what the Christmas tea
set up the Christmas tea. Just give a little background, because we've talked before. We've mentioned retreats.
Yes.
And that's a big thing. It would happen like summer-ish, going into summer. And then you had like the big summer event that like the whole church would be involved in. Mm-hmm. But in women's ministry, it was the big retreat. This was your annual thing.
Yes.
And during the holidays, at Christmas time, the big event was always this. The ladies got together and had a Christmas tea.
Yes.
And you went to far more of those than I did.
Yes. This is a very traditional, old school, very like Baptist, the Southern Baptists do their Christmas tea quite a bit. Now, come as you are, like now, they do it the very old school way. So when we would do it back in the day when I would go, the old school way was not the way, because it was not loving. It was not inclusive. So the old school way is that you say, I'm going to decorate this table. And so you bring all the table decorations, all the teacups, all the saucers, everything, and you decorate this table, and it becomes very competitive as to which table is the most beautiful table.
Oh, so they used to have you didn't do it.
We didn't do it back in the day. I do know
this is how they
Christmas
doing it. Yeah,
like Christmas 2023.
Yeah, they did like the table.
That's how they did it.
There was like a table leader and they were responsible for decorating that table. And
yes.
So you're almost like the sponsor of the table.
Yes.
Wow.
And so.
Oh, that would have been interesting.
But back in the day, I don't know if that is how it originally started. But by the time I started going to Christmas teas, there was definitely this like, and they would promote it that way. We are not like traditional Christmas teas, and we are here to focus on Jesus and focus on the gift that the Lord has given us, and this gift that is the birth of Christ, our Savior. We don't get caught up in all that stuff. That is how it was originally promoted, like way, way back in my early days at Come As You Are. I had attended a couple with my mother-in-law. I mean, it was very low key. Like I'm sure some of our listeners have probably experienced a Christmas tea where, you know, you have the dress and like they have the hats and all that stuff. That is definitely the direction that Come As You Are has gone now. I think because when I was going to the teas, we were trying to reach the younger generation. And now Come As You Are really doesn't have a younger generation. So it's just a bunch of old boomers doing what they want. And they want the old traditional way. So they were trying to do things to attract the younger women. You know, you bring your own teacup. You don't have a teacup. We have some that you can borrow. Some old ladies have, you know, teacups. We'd have the old ladies who would bring out, they collected teapots and they would bring them all out every year.
Oh, yeah.
I don't drink tea. I've never been a tea drinker. So I don't have a teacup. But I had like a coffee mug that was my grandpa's. So I would bring my grandpa's coffee mug and that's what I would drink out of.
And then that started becoming the verbiage too of like, bring your teacup or your coffee cup or any cup. Just bring a cup.
That because I was the one who was, I'm like, I don't have tea and I'm not dainty. That's not my style.
Right.
Like I don't. And so I started bringing an old man's coffee cup. And so then that became.
Yeah. That's so part of the culture then now.
I started that.
Yay.
But
I don't think I ever brought a cup. I don't think I ever borrowed a cup either. Yeah. I just like, it's like, I'll just take a styrofoam cup with some lemonade. Thanks. Yeah.
And then I would drink like lemonade or water out of it because I don't like tea. Yeah. I don't like hot tea. I love iced tea, but I don't like hot tea. It was very low key. It was kind of like you'd come, they do a couple like Christmassy worship songs. In the very beginning, someone would just kind of do a basic, like, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season type of talk. Very, very brief, very simple. And then you had like the little finger sandwiches and the little treats and all of that kind of stuff. The first one because I went to a few, I actually liked it so much. I decided I was going to serve on this team. They were looking for people to make the little treats and I was like, I can do this. And so you had a paper in your bulletin where it was, you know, would you like to make finger, you know, and they had name. So it wasn't just finger sandwiches. It was like cucumber sandwiches or egg salad sandwiches. Like, I mean, it was very specific.
Yeah.
And so one of the things was, would you like to make brownies? And I was like, I can make brownies. Like, yeah, I can make brownies. Right. My family does have like a homemade brownie recipe that we use, but my family, we like the Betty Crocker box mix. You throw some extra chocolate chips in there. That's how we eat brownies. Right. Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, I'll make brownies. I'm thinking I'll just go buy a box mix and it's like, whatever. Right. And if I feel really bougie, I'll even break out the whole, you know, homemade brownie recipe. Right. I signed up, I got a phone call from a lady and she asked if she could drop some stuff off at my house. She was the lead of the refreshment team. So she shows up at my house. She has a recipe that I have to follow. I'm not a baker. So there's some of this stuff that I'm like, I don't know what the hell this is. Like, what? Very specific instructions. She like pointed out things like you have to double sift your flour. And I was like, okay. I don't even like, sift.
I have to what? Like, can I buy double sifted flour?
Does it come in the bag like that? Like if
what's
I just,
a sifter?
Did I just shake the bag? Does that work? I don't know. And so
that just right there, like just honestly, like you don't even have to give a further description. The woman asked you to double sift the flour.
She was very specific.
Tells us everything we need to know about that interaction.
She was very specific about the recipe I had to use. And then she gave me this. It looked like some, so I grew up doing 4-H.
Right.
So like I baked in 4-H. It told us to sift our flour. We never did. Right. We're like,
yeah.
Like the judges are going to know if we sifted our flour.
Right, exactly.
Like, and so it looked like it was something printed in like a 4-H cookbook.
Uh-huh.
Like, I mean, I'm sure some of our listeners are like, I have no idea what that means. But if you know, you know what a 4-H cookbook looks like. And so it looked like it came from a 4-H cookbook. But like probably from like the 60s.
Yeah.
And it was instructions on how to cut this pan of brownies. So I had to use a specific size pan for these brownies. And then I had to cut them in a very specific way. Then once I cut them, I had a template that looked like something that like your teacher would put up like on the overhead, like the big overhead projector, you know? I was given this template and I was supposed to take this template and cut it out on either like thick, like now we call it cardstock, but I think she said like thick construction paper or something, or cardboard. And I was expected to put this template over my cut brownies that I cut in a specific way and sift and shake powdered sugar over them, because the whole theory was that they were going to look like little Christmas trees with snow on them. I tried my damnedest. I followed the instructions.
Like,
I tend to think I'm a very crafty human.
Yeah.
Like, I do a lot of things on my own, very crafty-wise. Like, my son goes to prom in a couple of weeks. I made his boutonniere. I made his girlfriend's corsage. Like, you know, like, I'm a fairly crafty, you know, innovative person, creative. My brownies did not pass inspection.
Uh-oh.
I showed up and I was like, here you go. And she's like, oh, those are wonderful. And she put them in the back in the kitchen and did not put them out. Like, everyone is bringing their stuff. And she would be like, oh, wonderful. Take this to this table and put it out. They had the little tea trays, you know, the little tiered
things. Trays on the table. Trays
that you put your little treats on. Yeah. Mine got stuck in the back.
Just in case we run out, we can put these ones out.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, we had extra, so yours are going to be extra. I took my whole plate, my whole pan, it never got used, took the whole thing home. My kids did not give two craps if my Christmas trees looked like crap. They ate them just the same anyway.
Oh, my goodness.
Double sifted flour and all.
I even double sifted that flour for you.
And so... that was definitely the mindset. We are doing better because we're not doing this competitive, you know, is your table decorated better than my table or is your hat cuter than my hat? And we didn't wear the tea dresses and all of that, that like the traditional teas did. But yet
we can't serve brownies that don't,
you know, this mom, like, and I mean, I just like now, and I mean, I will fully admit I've kind of entered my villain era of my life. I think there's something about turning 40 that you just like, you have like no more craps to give, you know, but like at that time, like if it would have happened now, I would have been like, screw you. What's wrong with my brownies? Like put them on the plate. People eat them anyway. Yeah. Like I probably wouldn't have. I've just been like, screw you. I'm not doing this. I'll just buy brownies that look like trees if that's what you want. But at that time, in that place that I was, that devastated.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Because, like, it's like, I mean, and obviously the lady that was in charge, I mean, you know, she had a specific picture in her head and was very held to that picture of how things were supposed to go.
And I was not the vibe. Her vision was not visioning that.
You were going to ruin the entire event if that didn't work out. But, I mean, and that's, like, her own issues and stuff, but... you know, the big picture of like, where's your focus and what are these things about? But like, so then I forgot what I was going to say.
And like, okay. I could not even tell you what that talk was. Couldn't even tell you what that talk that day was about.
That's what I was going to say.
Because I spent the entire time like just embarrassed and I felt awful.
Yeah,
because like, I could not meet that standard.
Yeah, we're going to bring somebody in. We want people to volunteer. We need people to do things.
Yeah.
And then you're going to like be that crazy, picky, insane that you're like this, you're hurting people. Yeah. Like that's the thing. Like this is a church.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's a better way to handle that. Like, there's got to be, and I'm trying to think through right now, mm-hmm. is because, like, I understand having a vision, and I understand, like, in that theater zone of, like, okay, as a director, yeah. and, like, having a vision and putting on events, yeah. and, like,
I put on plays,
the
whole experience, yes.
But you're working with volunteers, you're working with women in a church. This isn't like this, like, there's a difference when this is somebody's job. Like, it's one thing if you hire a professional brownie maker,
yeah,
and you ordered these brownies to be 3x3 and they give you 4x4. You might have cause to be like, that's not what I ordered,
yeah,
right? But, like, we're talking about, like, fellowship gathering. Thank you so much for making brownies. These are wonderful. Mm-hmm. Like that's just where it's like, you have to know who your volunteers are and what message you're conveying, yeah. because you didn't get anything out of that tea. Absolutely nothing.
I got hurt feelings.
Yeah.
And I didn't go to a tea for a few years after that.
Yeah. I could imagine.
And so
that would give you a really bad taste for the way that women can be in a ministry event.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So honestly, the next tea that I remember attending was probably the best. I mean, like, women talked about this one for years. There was a woman who did a talk about the gifts of the Magi. Mm-hmm. And so she had in, like, a little gift bag, like, little teeny, you know,
yeah, like a little jewelry bag,
a favor bag.
Yeah. Bag. Yeah.
Yeah. She had ordered. So she had, like, little flakes of gold.
Yeah. Gold, frankincense.
Yep. And then she ordered frankincense and myrrh. And so, like, frankincense was, like, the oil, and she had it, like, on a little cotton ball and mm-hmm. in a little, like, the little itty bitty teeny tiny little Ziploc bag. You know, but, like,
so you could smell it. You can get yeah. an idea of what these things
yeah,
are.
Yeah, she did an amazing job. And you had it. And then I remember this talk about, because it was a tea, everyone had teacups, right? And someone talked about the teacups on the Titanic.
Yeah, the teacups at the bottom of the ocean.
Yes.
That was me.
That was you. And it's funny because it wasn't until, like, we were putting together this episode that I remember the talk.
Yeah.
I didn't remember that it was you.
That it was me. Yeah. Yeah. So that would have been in 2012. That would have been the last tea we did for a while because we switched dynamics. But my first tea that I went to was in 2011. And so it was right before I was going to marry Froggy. And I went to that tea and I thought it was neat. Like, I didn't bring a teacup. I don't mm-hmm. remember borrowing one. I just probably was given one and I was like, it's not my thing, but whatever, I'll use it. You know, mm-hmm. I love tea and it's fine, but I just, the whole idea of having a tea party.
Yeah. It seems weird.
It like, yeah, I was like, what is this? We're doing what? We're like, I had never been to a Christmas tea. I have no idea what this thing is. And I go and it was fun. Mm-hmm. And I took my daughters and we had a good time. And it was just a nice ladies' luncheon, essentially, is how I Ooh, feel like that
that's
was.
That's a good, you just brought up something. The bringing of the daughters.
Yeah.
Because that changed over time as well.
Oh, yeah.
Of, you know, we couldn't bring.
It was supposed to be for adult ladies.
Yes. But then women would always bring their daughters. Because you're right. It was like we were having like an adult tea party.
And it was weird.
Little girls wanted to come to the tea party. Yeah. And so they would bring little girls. And then it was always a problem every year because it was not, something.
Well, I thought it was just interesting because it was always kind of presented to me in a way of like the topic might be too old for kids.
Yeah.
But they never talked about anything.
Yeah, it's not like we were talking about sex or anything.
That was too
like,
old.
We're talking for, about, like, Jesus is the gift that God has given you. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, and then it became, well, if they can sit still. Like, we're not going to tell you mm-hmm. no, but it's on you to make sure that they are behaved and they're not a distraction to other women.
Yeah.
But this year that I, in 2011 that I went, I don't remember it being, I don't remember asking or thinking I couldn't. Like, it was very, I mean, who knows? In my world, I could have just done it and caused a problem. I but honestly,
was,
I just...
I think that was before the old ladies got grab tea.
Right. So I brought the, and I might have even just brought my oldest daughter even. I'm trying to remember. It might have just been her because she would have been older and left the little ones at home. But I know she definitely went. And because she was coming into that youth age anyway. So I think I just took her. But we went. We went to this, the tea. And then the next year, I signed up to speak. And I had gotten involved because Froggy worked for the lady that gave the gifts of the Magi, her family business. Froggy worked for, he had worked for them and then didn't work for them. And then right when we got married, he started working for them again. So I ended up being very involved with them. I even ended up working there eventually with this family. And they have a youth daughter at the time who's the same age as my kids. And... you know, so we all got along and became close. And so, and at this point, cause we're, this is going to be 2012. So the whole year of 2012, after I marry Froggy, I move from the sound booth to singing on stage because we talked about the youth band and getting involved with that and Destiny's Child. And I became friends with them. And so she helped get me singing on stage and really brought me into that leading worship. And so I'm doing all these things. And then in 2012, so I speak at the Christmas tea. Froggy and I are in the Christmas Eve play because there used to be plays for Christmas Eve. We, our Christmas Eve service would be like have to do some sort of production to share the Christmas story, some kind of like live nativity or
you have to do it in a creative way because no one wants to come to church and just listen to the Christmas story.
Right. And so this was a, an opening. And so all of these things are like openings for me to start using my gifts and my calling and my talents and the things that I'm, cause it's really bizarre to me. Like, because I talked about in my episode how like, right after I married Froggy that June, I did a play in the community.
Yeah.
And it was very successful. I mean, I've been doing plays in the community since I lived here, since I moved here. And so that wasn't the first play I'd been in. It was just the first one I'd been in after marrying Froggy, and it caused a big ripple and big problem. It really sent him off the deep end.
Yes. Cause that how dare you have the audacity
to ask permission to go do a play and then go do it. How dare you? And dare you be gone for more than 5 minutes out of my sight.
Yes. And not have his dinner cooked and
or whatever. Like, no, but I mean, seriously, like this man, like, I know this is totally side note. Like, I would go to the store. And he'd be like, where are you? I'm like, I'm at the grocery store. Well, you've been gone for like an hour. Yeah. And I'll be gone for two more if I want. That was a big sticking point for me. Like, there were just little things. So from my first marriage, that was a big deal. And so when he said that, I'm like, I'll be gone all day. I'm at the grocery store, you know, get over it. Like, so there were some things that were big sticking points in our relationship, and that would be one of them. But like, I talked about it already in that episode of like, I was like, hey, this is what theater entails. There's going to be 2 weeks where I'm like totally MIA. And it's going to be a full world. And then, but yet the whole world came to an end because I was gone. And so it's just very interesting to me that like, since I was 13 years old, I've been continually pursuing the stage and the theater and all of these things. And I get to come as you are. And, you know, 2011, I attend my first tea. I didn't get to go to retreat that year because I showed up, you know, right before it was happening. I didn't have time to like make that happen. But gosh, golly, gee whiz, I go to one Christmas tea. Now I know what it is. So the next year, you know, I'm speaking, right? And
So this starts this pursuit within women's ministry of, you know, this is who I am. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. This is my ministry calling. Like, and to be at a church where it didn't actually really exist, like there had been a theater team and then like a lady that led that like left, like there was enough that like, I didn't create the idea to have a play yeah. on Christmas Eve. That was already happening.
Yeah.
But I certainly got involved.
And you made it a hell of a lot better. I'll right. tell you that.
Well, I took like, it over is never, really what happened.
in all the years of yeah. all the things I did yeah. at that place, I never attended a Christmas Eve service.
Yeah. And what's so funny is by the end, they were like, Melissa, it's Christmas time. What are we doing for Christmas Eve? Like, from Froggy and I volunteering and acting in one, mm-hmm. I ended up taking over completely. But,
I had never attended one, but like everyone talked about, like it was talked about yeah. how amazing.
Yeah.
The skits and the productions were.
That they were. Yeah. But, I mean, and they're so like low key, but yeah, so that last Christmas tea in 2012, where that lady talked and her daughter's homeschool group brought their handbells.
Yes.
That was so cool. Mm-hmm. And I did. I talked about teacups and women because like this door was just opening to get into like women's ministry. And I was having this whole realization of like, being a troubled youth and a troubled child, God has always put women in my life to keep me on track. Like there's mm-hmm. very specific moments in my life where I can be like, there was a woman who took me under her wing. There was a woman who took me under yeah. her wing, who came alongside of me, who kept me pointed in the right direction. And, you know, that became really, I want to say this in the right way, because coming out of toxic church culture now and having to get to a place where you don't know what of that was real
yeah.
or not. And yeah. you're like, okay, I spent 10 years thinking the church experience was God.
Yeah.
And it turns out that it was all just a facade mm-hmm. and it was very hurtful and harmful. And we've come to this realization where we understand that, like, you go, I understand why people walk away.
Oh yeah.
Like yeah. people who are like, well, it's just don't, I don't know. You see these things posted on social media where they're like, it's not God, it's people. Don't let the people ruin church yeah. for you.
People hurt you. The church didn't hurt you.
Yeah. Like things like that. And it's like, but it's a type of hurt and a complete mind disheveling
mm-hmm.
that messes you, like it's serious. It messes yeah. you up. And we're talking about people's faith and people's belief in God.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I say this, I'm coming at it from, I walked into this church building trying to have a relationship with God, following the teachings of these people, mm-hmm. thinking that everything I was doing was blessed by God and my calling yes. and my purpose. And so I don't try to sound sarcastic in any of this, but you have to understand that like you sit in a place and you're like, what was real and what wasn't?
Yeah.
Like, was this really my calling for God or was this all a manipulation?
Yeah.
You know, just
because there was a ton of crap that I did over the years that this is your calling. This is what God wants you to do. But then when you sit down and you sift through all the BS, you're like,
no, you were just manipulating me to do your bidding.
You needed someone to do that. And you convinced me that God needed me to do it.
Yeah.
But so, in all reality, Charlotte needed me to yeah. do it.
And in order to keep your faith and in order to rebuild your relationship with God and still come to that place, you have to be willing to say that not everything was bad.
Mm-hmm.
Just like not everything can be good. Like there was definitely, God didn't just abandon us in that season. Well, so there's definitely things that were really, truly in line with God versus yes. the manipulation.
And that's how we got to this point where we both have been able to walk away from this and keep our faith is we had those moments yeah. where we could be like, nope, I know that was God. Yeah. And I know that was real. And I know I heard from him.
Yeah. And then you find yourself in the place of, now I have to walk forward and get back into my calling and my purpose. And you go without carrying the toxicity. And as you can tell, I'm not there yet. And that's okay. But I know I kind of sidetracked a little bit. But this time,
yeah,
like, I have come into this church, and I really honestly feel like I've made it to a place where I am now following Jesus correctly. Mm-hmm. I'm learning the right ways to be a good Christian. I'm learning the right things. I'm being told good things. I'm making good choices. I am surrendering all, you know, in for Jesus.
Yep. And we are doing it correctly. We are the ones who are honoring God. And this is what you're going to see in other churches, but you don't see that here.
Right.
Because we follow God.
Yeah.
We pick up our cross and we follow him daily.
Yes. And so stepping into speaking at that tea was such a pivotal moment in my story, and understanding that this is 2012. I just married Froggy. My whole world is falling apart. Like, I boarded myself up in my house because of the psychological effects of the abuse that started happening in my home. And then we just bounce right back. Everything's fine. We got to keep following. And so you'll start to see how I pursue my gifting and my calling. And while also behind the scenes, everything is crap and garbage.
Yeah.
But the things that you'll start to see, the manipulation of my gifts and my calling, and how it just keeps me in this cycle of abuse. But it's also being used to control me and keep me to behave.
So leading up to this 2013 event, you speak at this 2012 team, right? This is where we have talked about how you and I were actively kept apart from each other. And when you come to this realization that, like, you and I would have been, like, really good friends.
Yeah.
And if we did ministry together, we would have freaking killed it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, 100%.
No, absolutely 100%.
And so when you look at how it didn't make sense to us why we had never done stuff together, and why we had never, because, I mean, we did events together. We've established that. Like, oh, you served at the, like, on the skit team at this retreat, I spoke at this retreat, or things like that. Yeah. Like, we did that, but, like, we never actively worked one-on-one together.
Right. The amount of meetings that you and I sat in together for the same ministry event is insanely small. Like, there's, like, none. Yes. Like, maybe I could think of two.
Yeah.
And then, like, and then stories, narratives that you were told, narratives that I was told. And
but this is really one of the first times that you can actively see.
Yeah.
And knowing what was going on behind the scenes leading up to this event, I have stepped out of youth ministry. I stepped into women's ministry.
Mm-hmm.
I had a big, giant, oh, crap, Amanda can't always be controlled, because I shared about Justin's affair openly. At that retreat, Charlotte realized, even though she told me not to say it, I had to tell her what I was going to say word for word. I still went off book. And so now we have this narrative that Amanda has to have her way. Amanda has to get her way. I'm slowly being directed not to speak at things, and more, your gifting is organization. Like, this is really where I just, it was driven home. Like, my spiritual gift is organization. I didn't know that was a spiritual gift that's listed in scripture, but apparently.
Well, I always wondered somewhere, because, like, I was so impressed with your ability to speak in front of people and to share in a way, like I said, you said hot mess in your talk. And I was like, dang, I like this lady. I'd never heard that before. But, like, you do have a way of putting things where people go, like, it's very down to earth and real. And you go, well, yeah, I am a hot mess.
You know?
And so I always did wonder, like, just as like totally, I always wondered what happened. Like, how come you just kind of curtailed away from, I'm going to be all into women's ministry, but then you really weren't in a sense. And
like, I would tell people like, oh no, like, you know, it's not healthy for the same person to do the same thing over and over again. And, you know, there's all these other wonderful, gifted people. I wanted to speak. I wanted to share. I had, like you said, you feel like this is how God can use me and I can do a good job at this. And you feel like this is your gifting. But then it was almost like I was being distracted by these other things.
Yeah.
By Charlotte to get me to.
Did you go to retreats after at this time? Like, were you still attending retreats? I'm trying to remember. Okay.
Because I never spoke again after that.
I was going to say, because I started speaking right after that.
I never spoke again after that, but I was in charge of all of the registration. I was in charge of. So. We need to use your gift of organization. God has gifted you so immensely. And like some of it, like, is there some things like God has gifted me in? Yeah. But like, can we just be honest? Like, I'm the oldest daughter of a single mom.
Right. Like, yes, I'm organized.
I'm not one in a million.
I don't know that it's my spiritual gift, but I am organized. And there's a lot of organized people out there. And you can also learn to be organized. You can learn that. It's a learned skill.
And so...
and this coming from Queen ADHD herself, it's a learned skill. Okay. Yes. I just want to be,
so it's, you know, some of it was like gifting, but then there's other things that is just like, you know, this is who I am and I'm a product of my circumstances.
Yeah.
But I really like looking back now, I see how I was distracted.
Yeah.
And you are needed here. And I've gone to enough therapy that I can acknowledge, no, I wanted to speak and I wanted to do that. I felt hurt in the years where I would say, ooh, I would like to talk about this. And Charlotte would say, oh, but we already have 4 speakers, you know? And so those years, I was hurt by that, but I never shared that with anyone.
No,
I never
right.
said that out loud. No. I kept that to myself.
And you wouldn't, because it's a you issue. It's a problem with you. Cause I felt that way too. Like all of the hurt that I had behind the scenes, you couldn't voice it or express it to anybody because you were so conditioned and so victim shamed.
Yeah.
You know, like you're the if you have that problem, that's a you problem. Well,
and then I would be like, you know, oh no, the same person can't talk every year. And then, you know, you'd have someone to be like,
but then the same person would talk every
Charlotte's
year.
Charlotte's mom talks every year and she's an old lady. So like she shares the same stories over and over and over again. And, you know, so then you start to feel that way. Then you feel guilty and you're like, well, but she's like, am I really going to tell an old lady? Like, I don't want you to speak. I want to speak. Like that's super selfish. So,
everybody just accommodated.
Yeah,
everybody thought it, but everybody just accommodated.
It's just a giant mind F going on like all the time. And so it's just I transitioned into more of like the planning and the organization, but the more I did that, the more that fed the narrative of Amanda is bossy and Amanda has to have her way.
Yeah.
And so we also same time
boggles my mind because really the bossy one who has to have their way
is Charlotte.
Well, is me in all of these. Because like, this is really where I started like making things go my way, you know, like, but anyway, what were you going to say? I'm sorry.
No, it's like, but so Amanda has to be given things because she cannot be trusted with a microphone.
Right.
Because
that is really creepy.
She doesn't follow the rules.
That you were never given allowed to have a microphone after that.
There was a couple instances, the woman who did the frankincense talk, there was a couple times where she led an event that she had asked me to speak at, but very small,
yeah,
compared to like the retreat level things. So there were a few tiny things over the years, but I never spoke at a large event on stage again,
yeah,
until the year
the
where
conference you did.
I put on my own conference.
Yeah, which was all just a manipulation. It was a manipulation. It was like, fine, you want to do it kind yeah. of a thing.
Yeah, and it was my giant.
It's going to fail.
Yeah, it was my giant F you to Charlotte yeah. in the most brainwashed cult church Christian way possible.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
We'll get to that point. But so, you know, I can no longer have the microphone. I have to be distracted. While at the same time, you need to be distracted because Tom and Charlotte are full on aware of what a piece of crap husband that Froggy is being to yeah. you.
They know what's
doors.
Going on in my home.
Yeah.
And I've said this before. I don't know if I've said it on this podcast, but I got to a point where I realized that the same people I was going to for help are the same people who were helping to keep me
yes.
locked in the situation. And
yep.
it starts here.
Yep.
It starts here with, you know, what do we do with Melissa? And we give Melissa enough to keep her in a position where I have to keep my life together is really what it
yeah.
is. So if you think about it, so now I'm leading worship and what happened was Destiny's Child left at some point, right?
Yeah.
There was a total falling out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't go down nicely. Let's just put
no,
it that way.
Because
total falling out.
You know, we've established the whole, like, you can't have a membership.
Right.
And all of that kind of stuff. The ramifications, it just continued to unravel and unravel yeah. and unravel.
And they just continued to get more and more, you know, the direction they were going musically.
Oh my gosh, they
and
built so much traction. There was a point
other
in time,
churches that they were
yeah.
had band members, so then they were going to different churches, and you know that you can't do that at Come As You Are. You can't
yeah.
be the worship leader at Come As You Are and then also go lead worship at other churches on any given Sunday. That
yeah.
doesn't work. But that's they were in circles with many different people at many different churches
yeah.
and they were doing that. Like,
and
that
they
was,
reached the level where I mean, they opened for Toby Mac one year at a
yeah.
at a concert.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, like that's they reached.
They're amazing.
Yes.
So, I mean, they deserve all of that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But,
and that was way after they had left
oh,
Come
yeah.
As You Are.
But, you know, that did not go down well. There were not
no.
nice things. And this feeds that narrative of where if you leave.
Yep. There's something wrong with you.
These young ladies are serving God and God is moving them on to bigger and better things. That was not the narrative. That's the truth, but that's not the narrative. The narrative is they used Come As You Are as a stepping stone in their career. And that was all they did was use us to get where they wanted to be.
And
we poured into them and then they abandoned us. That's the story
yeah.
that was told.
And see, and I was told that they were greedy and all they wanted was fame and they wanted to be the next Amy Grant.
Yeah.
And so Tom told them, you can't follow God and chase fame. And so they chose fame.
Right.
Is what Tom.
Ooh.
In a.
I love that. We both have two different stories.
In a, you know, one
from
of his
the
like.
Same person.
One of his giant like.
So if you were wondering why Amanda and I couldn't be friends.
Angry. Exactly. Why can't we be friends?
Why?
Because we start to compare notes.
Of the same story.
And we start a podcast about it.
So. It is. It's so interesting to me how, like, coming into being a worship leader. So they leave. That's where
mm-hmm.
I was at. They leave. And so the worship team is a mess.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally just a
oh,
mess.
No.
Like, it's a mess, right?
We went from having professional
and
level.
Organized and
yes.
somebody doing it and knowing how all these songs flow together.
And to
somebody
Tom
who could
singing
lead worship, right? And then we had like, yeah, well, we had a handful. We have a handful of singers. Okay. This is how
yes.
it was put. Let me just put it in the, I'll put it in the Come As You Are terminology. We have a lot of singers. We don't have any worship leaders. Okay. So he sends out like a 3-page memorandum email of like, this is what a worship leader at Come As You Are is. Okay, I memorized it And I perfected within myself every single qualification. Yeah. Like I became, if you took that 3-page email and you turned it into a person, it was me. That's what I did.
But that's so good for like someone with ADHD. Like here is.
You gave me the boundaries.
Yes. Here is everything you need.
This is what you need
to be successful.
Yeah. I had the roadmap. Yeah. And so I did it. And on one hand, I mean, yeah, that's great, but it was not, it was never good enough.
No.
Like I did it and I did these things, but I was allowed to be the worship leader because I had to make sure my life was always in check and my family was always in check. And I couldn't be on stage and live a different life at home. Mm-hmm. That was very much conveyed to me. So on Sunday morning, when my husband is throwing things and he's saying God awful things to everybody in the house and telling kids how horrible they are and his wife, how horrible they are. And he's breaking furniture and throwing glass things. I had no glass in my house because if I bought something like dishes, plastic, cups, plastic, everything was plastic. I have no decorations in my house at this point. I've taken them all down because anything I would put up would get broken. Mm-hmm. So all of my possessions are in boxes.
Yeah.
And I have nothing in my house of like a possession type thing because it would just get broken. And so it could be Sunday morning and, you know, people laugh and joke about arguing on the way to church, but like, no, I would have to be at church early because I'm on the worship team, but I would have to listen to a 45-minute anger rant about what a horrible, selfish human being I am because I'm going to church early to lead worship.
Yeah.
But then I'd have to put on a smile on stage, but I'd have to be in forgiveness first.
Yeah.
So I have to continually forgive my husband and stay in a right heart with God to lead worship on stage. Otherwise, I need to sit down and not do it. Well, that would crush me because this is my ultimate joy in life. Mm-hmm. While also being told that if there was somebody better, I wouldn't be up there.
Yeah. Because ultimately, that's what Tom wants. How many times would Tom send out like, this is what I'm looking for. This is exactly what I need.
Yeah.
Someone who is exactly what you're looking for, is exactly what you need, comes to you and says, I am all these things. I fit this so perfectly. And he would be mad about it. And I don't know if that's like his narcissism. Like he always wanted to be right. He needed to be the one to see it in people.
He wanted his daughter to be the worship leader.
Oh, 100%.
And nobody will ever be
live her. Up to her. Yeah.
And that may not have been for everybody who was on that stage, but that was definitely used against me. And anytime I would do something that was praiseworthy or good or like that, I would just do something that should be celebrated just in general, like as a human being, you know, there'd be a conversation about her.
Yeah.
And it was like, gosh,
yeah,
you know, so it's just, this is like such a pivotal time of.
So it's so crazy how like you and I were kept apart from each other, but the same person was used against us.
Yeah.
Just in different ways.
Yeah.
Like, because for you, it was, you're never going to live up to her. And for me, it was constantly, you're so much like her. You're so much like her. Mm-hmm. And so that's wild to think about. And
Tom had my number. Like he.
Oh, no, 100%. He's like, so good at what he does. I had enough
interactions with him that he knew my daddy issue. Like.
And
then he just was in a father figure position, but he's my father-in-law. So it was
it's almost creepy how well he can read people.
Yeah. You give him, he's a pastor. Mm-hmm. Why would you not be honest and forthcoming?
Yeah.
And I mean, so many people pour their hearts out.
Yeah.
I believe that the church is set up to manipulate people in that way. Specifically, this church is set up, give us your weakest information and so we can turn it around and use it against you. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it was like, it was, anyway, but so I'm leading worship, right? Mm-hmm. And Froggy is very talented on stage. Like, and I think it's interesting, an interesting dynamic something that I've always seen in that family was Froggy is very sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As much of a angry, strong, bullheaded jerk that he is, it's all just a defense mechanism because he's very sensitive inside.
Yeah.
It's very artsy and he's very talented. But when you have a black and white thinking, not very artsy, not emotional father, mm-hmm. you know, so then you have to have even a harder shell, you know, and I'm not making excuses for him in any way, shape or form, because once you leave your parents, man, you can like, yeah. just change yourself, be whoever you want. But like, he was very talented and yeah. that showed. Him and I together, like that got brought out. And mm-hmm. so, you know, we started acting together in these Christmas plays. And then, but we get to, how did we switch from the Christmas tea?
We had these teas and we had this amazing tea, like probably like, I mean, it was one of the one, like there was only two teas that women really ever talked about. There was one way, way back in the day where someone did a talk about like, they shared a poem, like a spider, the spider in who built her web in the corner of the barn of like,
Charlotte?
No, not Charlotte, like where Jesus was born and like yes. watch Jesus be born. And yes. some lady had like made these little spider, like beaded spider,
yeah.
Christmas ornaments. And so there was that one and there was the one that you spoke at.
Right.
And those were the two that like for years women would talk about them and bring them up again. Yeah. And so we have this amazing tea. And then the next year we're not doing a tea. We're doing something else. And it was wild because like it pissed some of the old ladies off. There were some old ladies who were salty.
I killed the tea.
That the tea went away. Yeah. So how did that happen? Because I don't even know.
As wonderful as it was that I spoke at the tea, if you couldn't tell from our earlier part of this conversation, it was a friggin' tea party.
It was a tea party. It was
for adult women. It was lame.
It was weird.
I'm sorry. Was, yeah. It was lame. That's my honest. Yeah. And I can say that because
it was a very old lady thing.
It was awful. Yeah. Nobody wants to go to a Christmas tea. I'm sorry. And if you love the Christmas tea, good for you. Go to all the Christmas teas. Go to every Christmas tea. Have Christmas yeah. tea every day. I could not stand the Christmas tea. Like mm-hmm. in, I love get-togethers. I love gathering. I love the concept.
Yeah.
But to actually do a tea, I became a very big voice against I killed the Christmas tea. So when it came time to plan for the Christmas tea, now I'm like all in at this point and I'm mm-hmm. like moving my way up the ranks. I take over everything I do. So I am like, I am the event queen, and we're not doing a Christmas tea. And I was convincing enough that we did not do a Christmas tea for like the next few years.
Yeah, we didn't do
quite a few years. Yeah. And so
it wasn't until you and I were done in ministry.
Melissa's done. We could do a tea again. I was like, we need to do an event, but that event does not need to be a tea. And so we came up, this other lady and I, which is really funny because the lady who led this death by chocolate event that we did. Mm-hmm. This was phenomenal, right? Because yeah, what's no, better than tea chocolate? Yeah, we need yeah. chocolate.
And like that's how you market it. Not everyone likes tea. Everyone loves chocolate,
right?
Yeah.
So the lady and I that led this, we co-led mm-hmm. it. We co-created it. We came up with the entire vision, made it happen. And there might have been some fine, you don't want to have a tea, what do you want to do? You know, like, yeah. so no, we were like, this is what we want to do. This lady and I that co-led this event, this is the lady that showed up at my house when I boarded myself up in the window. It's like, this lady and I ran in a lot of the same circles for yeah. a long time. So her and I put on this event called Death by Chocolate. We get this, like, we had speakers, we had skits. It was so much fun. The laughter
It was hilarious.
Night of laughing and chocolate. I'm sorry, but there is nothing better than laughter and chocolate.
And it was definitely like, you know, like hope in Jesus. Like, I mean, that had to be there because like we had the five purposes and you always had to have the
make sure all of them are there.
Yeah.
It covered all of our bases.
It was definitely like it had almost like a comedian, like a comic nightclub with chocolate and like hot chocolate and junk food. And like, it had that vibe and it was so much fun.
Yeah. It was a blast. And I was the MC. Mm-hmm. I gave a short little talk on regifting and then I never got another birthday present again, but whatever. I did that to myself because when your birthday's like 8 days before Christmas.
Yeah.
People give you birthday gifts that you're like, yeah, we gift. Yeah. It's great. Don't tell people that because they don't give you Christmas birthday presents anymore. But no, it was fun. It was an MC night. That lady spoke. Another lady spoke. We had, like I said, we did skits and the skits were funny.
Yeah.
And everything was around chocolate. And like I just said, an hour of laughter and chocolate. There's nothing better. And so I do think it's funny.
Do you feel like it was because like you mentioned with the conference that I did that Charlotte was kind of like a fine, just do whatever you want kind of thing. No, do you feel like she had that vibe with you?
I don't think that she had that vibe. It wasn't like it was like we were in a season where we were poised for change. Mm-hmm. So I feel like there were probably some other things going on behind the scenes because
we had just gone through a big sifting season because
that's probably a lot more of what it is to me. Yeah. I feel like I was the bully and getting my way. But I got my way a lot.
But more people our age got more out of that than they did the tea.
And this kind of started like the terrible Melissa season of like, because I kind of bullied my way into always get like, I was very vocal about what I wanted in women's ministry. And I'd be like, well, that's dumb. Like, we can't do that. People don't want that.
Yeah.
Like, we're not doing that anymore. Why do we do these things? You know? Yeah. And like, I had a vision of what we needed to be doing in women's ministry. And I was sometimes I laugh because you say like you were always accused of being the controlling and bossy one. And I'm like, yeah, but it was me being the controlling and bossy one.
It's funny because like I was always told like she's flaky. You can't depend on her. But now like all of the things, realizing all of the things that you led and you led with all the capability and
never got credit for it.
And talent and all of it. Like it's.
Yeah. Well, and that's funny because the narrative that you were always told is like, don't help Melissa because she's flaky.
Well, and this specific Death by Chocolate event, I was not told you were flaky at this point. But it was definitely, I was not to touch it.
Yeah.
I could not touch it. There were so many more things that I was busy, that I had to be busy doing. I needed all of this stuff.
And I was being told that you were too busy. Like you had other things to do. Like don't bother you. Yeah. Like I could use your help for some, like if you have a question, you can ask her questions. But then she can tell you and you have to go do it. Don't have her do anything.
Yeah.
Like I was told not to burden you with anything I needed.
Yeah. And for this particular event, I was told like they got it and it's women leading events. Like they, you know, they are stepping out of their comfort zone. They don't need someone to go in there and take over everything and tell them what they're doing is wrong. Like, so you just need to leave them alone was kind of the talk I got.
Yeah.
And I didn't get to touch anything or do anything with it until the ladies in the office, you had like a ticket.
Yeah.
A very specific ticket that you wanted printed. And you had this vision that like you would tear off the end of the ticket.
Yeah. Like if you go to like a show or whatever, like you go to the movie theater,
like a theater ticket,
a theater ticket. And it was like a perforated end, but you have like the artsy side that has like the date So it's like a keepsake. You're going to keep your ticket. Yeah. Like, I went to this Death by Chocolate.
Well, and we had to have keepsakes at every damn event. Like, I don't know why the women needed to keep a keepsake. Men's events never had keepsakes. You didn't see men like, you know, I need to, all the men, we're going to get together and we're going to tie these 752 flies because the men have to take home fly fishing flies. It's a keepsake for men's retreat.
That would actually be really like, cool.
The men didn't have this crap, but the women had to have this all the time, right? And so we had to have these keepsakes. Like, I mean, I have the freaking spider from the spider. Like, I have the spider. I have the little pouch with all the, like, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. I have it that I hang on my Christmas tree. I've thrown away everything else that Come As You Are has given me.
Yeah.
But I do have those two things because those messages meant something to me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we had to have the keepsakes at everything. Every damn thing had to have
keepsakes. So the ticket was going to be a keepsake.
And the women were having a hard time printing them. And they were, you know, when you would tear them, they weren't tearing nicely. And so they were talking about it. Well, at the time, the bulletins that we were using, it was like a legal size piece of paper, but there was like the last like 3 inches on the end was perforated. And so we would fold it. So essentially you would have like a regular 8x10 piece of paper folded. And then you'd have the flap. What was left that would make up the legal size paper was perforated. We'd fold that in. And on that little perforated flap is where we would print, the communication cards where people would fill them out.
Yeah, you could fill it out, tear it off.
Turn it in. So I said, why don't we use this paper? So we tried to use that paper, print the ticket across and have the tear off part there. Well, it's like, it's paper,
so
right?
It's too thin.
So it's too thin. So I said, surely they make like, cardstock version of this. Well, they looked and it was far too expensive. So I said, well, like there has to be a way to do this, right? Well, so because I was the bossy one who opened my mouth and said, there has to be a way we can figure this out. I was told to figure it out myself. And I sat in the office by myself. I printed out all the tickets on cardstock. And then I had to go and buy like one of the little rolly perforator, to score it with perforation marks. I bought one of those and I sat and I hand perforated. I don't even know.
I know, but they were great. Just so
like
know.
150 like, of these tickets.
They were like right out of my mind into reality. And I was like, these are the most amazing thing ever.
Yes.
And that's like 100% true. Like I was like, oh, look at them. They're wonderful. I don't even know how they happen. They're wonderful.
Yeah. And it was definitely like the ladies in the office were over it. They didn't like, they're like, we're trying to do work. Like we have actual work to like keep the church running.
And we have this crazy artistic lady who says we got to do that. these crazy things.
And like Charlotte was so mad about it. And she would be so upset in the office about these tickets. And so like, because I was the one who, she's like, fine, figure it out.
Yeah.
Figure it out yourself. And
I'm
so
sorry.
When I finally figured it out and I was like, will this work? She's like, I guess that'll work. So to hear that you were like, they're amazing. Like,
which is so funny because I was the one, like, it's just funny to me, like how some things I was getting my way in,
but
like to that level of where they're like making this happen.
But again, why was Charlotte going in between? Why were you and I not sitting down and brainstorming?
How do
we make this ticket work? Yeah. Like, why was Charlotte the go-between?
Yeah. That's the weird part because I was totally capable, but there's things where like, why did she volunteer? I've got it. I'll take care of the tickets.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like, why would you not allow me, the leader of the event? You don't even want to handle this. And yet you're not letting me go talk to the person.
So
do it.
As we move forward, women's ministry is prevalent in the rest of our story. We've talked about how, you know, we use these retreats as almost like mile markers as we've put together our timeline and everything. And so these women's events become even more important because especially as Brandy joins us, it just becomes so apparent how manipulative Charlotte becomes in getting people to behave.
Yeah.
And getting people to fall in line and getting people to, like you said, live that, you know, you have to live the life worthy of your calling.
Yeah.
And so, to the point where we are in people's homes and we're in people's private business that we have no business being in. And this is like, so as we talk about these things, and when you hear, as we move through our story, you hear these things, you're going to have this like, well, why would you do that? Like, why, like this?
Why was this okay?
Yeah. Not. But this is the birth of that. This is the birth of so much. This is the birth of why you and Froggy were allowed to do theater type things, because we needed to give you guys something to do.
Right.
This is why Amanda had to
do it together. Like, it always had to be us together.
This is why Amanda had to move into more administrative roles, because we had to give her something to do that didn't involve her standing in front of people and talking.
Right. Yeah. It's you ask a lot of questions when you start to go, but it is interesting. Like, it's interesting to sit and talk about, because we have like the view of the whole timeline, but for our listener, like, you're just coming into, this is like, we got to our worlds collide, but now this is where you start to see like your calling and your gifting and your purposes and your life story. Because honestly, there's not much that goes on, I don't know, in my life, I don't know if it's for you, that isn't incorporated into the church.
Oh no, my entire life is that place.
Me too. And
my
and
entire
I,
life
so like,
is that place.
These things that are going on, these events, it's all these events and things that this is our life.
Yeah.
This isn't, we went to church on a Sunday and then we had a life outside of church.
And we're being told the community wants this. The community needs us.
Yeah.
We are the only place that they are getting these things. We are the only hope that they have in our entire community. I was such a pompous ass, like going around our community and inviting people as though like I was doing them this huge favor.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it's embarrassing.
It
to
is
think
embarrassing
how, like,
to think about now. I think about some of the things that I've said to people, and I'm like, but this is the birthplace of, this consumes our entire life. Like, this is our extracurricular activities on a Friday night. This is everything that we did. We ate, slept, breathed.
Your
church.
Entire being, a wife, a mom, a Christian, a woman,
was integrated
everything
into the church.
Was all this place.
Yeah.
Burning Butterflies is a listener-supported podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by our amazing supporters on Patreon.
Follow the link in our show notes to learn how you can become a Patreon supporter too. Supporters get exclusive access to bonus content each month, including outtakes, cut content, and supporter-only episodes. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave us a rating on your listening platform.
Burning Butterflies is a production of Asha Media. Thank you for listening.